willfulness, it's our greed, it's our power, our lust for having all of the things that we think we want, and our fear at not being able to have those things. It's the thing that tears relationships apart, not just relationships between individuals, but relationships between humanity and creation, and even within ourselves, as we feel the effects of those things ravaging our own hearts and minds. It's the thing that causes us to try to control our world, try to control our communities, but end up in a fuddle of our own making that we don't really understand. Brokenness, biblically, begins, like I said, at the beginning, when the tempter really says to us, how dare God suggest that you shouldn't eat of any tree that you want? How dare anyone tell you that you couldn't have what you think that you need? You are your own destiny after all, right? What happened to freedom? Goes on in the Bible with the breaking of the covenants that God establishes. People break those covenants. They say, we don't want a covenant with God. We want powerful gods like those of our enemies, that we can go up against those enemies and be successful. Biblically, brokenness comes when we are faced with our neighbors, some of whom don't seem to matter as much to us and our connectedness in our communities. And finally, brokenness comes in the matters of justice. Not so much whether we are right or wrong, whether we get what we think we deserve, but as God says, to do justice and love kindness and walk humbly with God, calling us to be community together. And brokenness doesn't just hurt the victims, does it? But brokenness infects our communities. It affects the ways that we are able to interact with one another. It breaks trust and it insists on each of our own ways. It's brokenness that leads the prophet Isaiah to declare, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. Because there is oppression, there is broken hearts, there is captivity, and there are prisoners. And these are the ones to whom God is looking through the prophet. These are the ones God wants mercy and grace and love. In today's world, perhaps that brokenness comes by way of isolation, by way of not being able to connect with the people that we love most, or as we try to do our jobs and our jobs continue to bring havoc and pain and sorrow upon us. Or as all that we've worked for has to be shut down, and our life's dreams seem to evaporate into thin air. Indeed, our world is broken. Broken to an extent that seems to suck us into a deep darkness. A darkness that we don't know whether we'll be able to free ourselves. We find as well that darkness is the perfect place for light to shine. Or as the psalmist likes to say, sorrow may last through the dark of the night, but joy comes in the morning. It's this sunrise of hope that brings joy into our world and reminds us of all of the ways that God has called us to rejoice in the Lord. Or as Mary says today, of her soul proclaiming the greatness of God and her spirit rejoicing. As we find ourselves confronted with God, confronted with the opportunity to hear and see God in motion through ourselves and through our neighbors once again. And joy is different than happiness, isn't it? Because Because joy doesn't depend on our own success. It doesn't depend on the things that we grow among ourselves. It's not even really dependent on the haphazard circumstance of maybe winning the jackpot in this world, because all of those things eventually will fail us. All of those things will fall away, and what are we left with then? Joy, at least the biblical understanding of joy, it's the very presence of God. It is the life of God that God intended at the beginning, when all things were good, when all things worked together and lived in harmony. It is the song that Miriam sings at the conclusion of the Exodus story, when she knows that her enemies have been defeated and her people and she are on the road finally to that promised land, to that which God has directed them to. It is the blind beggar reaching out for Jesus, not because he knows that Jesus can heal him of his blindness, but because he knows and declares that this is the Messiah, that this is the one who is here to transform our world, to transform our lives. It is the voice of Mary coming to the disciples on that day of resurrection, saying, "I have seen the Lord." Joy in our world perhaps could best be described as bringing life into this world, or finding that love of our lives that we know will sustain us, or being out in our beautiful world and witnessing the joy and the goodness of creation. And believe it or not, joy can also come at times that we think are sad and filled with grief. And indeed they are, and yet in the promise of God at those moments when we hold our loved one's hand for the last time, there is a joy to know that God has promised us an eternal life together, an eternity of joy and goodness that breaks even the bonds of this death that is in front of us. Or as my friend Frederick Buechner says, joy is a mystery because it can happen anywhere, anytime, even under the most unpromising circumstances, even in the midst of suffering. Happens in our world, even in the midst of pandemic and all of the struggles that go with it, even in the midst of isolation and all the loneliness that we're experiencing these days, even when the sadness of our world seems too great to bear, joy comes breaking through. It's perhaps why we call it Good Friday. And why we perhaps steal a little of that purple from our Advent season and let it bleed into a candle that turns pink this day, reminding us that in the midst of our journey, in the midst of all that we have to bear in these days, joy will come through. Joy will be ours. Brokenness and joy, they both exist. Perhaps they exist together with one another, reminding us, as Paul tells us, that we can and should and are able to rejoice always. Or perhaps as our song today says, praise the one who breaks the darkness with a liberating light. Let us sing for joy and gladness, seeing what our God has done. Praise the one redeeming glory. Praise the one.